Here's Mary Ellen Angel Scribe, author of Expect Miracles, with a Miracle Minute.
Angel mystic Atira was born with an amazing gift. Atira has seen and talked with angels and her spirit guide for as long as she can remember. And now she connects you with spirit as the angels answer your questions on past lives, passed over loved ones, dreams, relatives, workplace, and spiritual experiences. Atira is an Edgar Cayce Foundation handpicked psychic and is featured in The Days of Wonder by G.W. Hardin. Atira's magical, uplifting, worldwide readings are just $100 for 45 minutes, which includes an audio tape. Email angelreadings@angelscribe.com. That's angelreadings@angelscribe.com for an appointment, or go to Atira's website at angelscribe.com. For metaphysical, straight talk from the heart, it's Atira, Angel Mystic.
Welcome to Metaphysical State, Straight Talk from the Heart. I'm your host, Atira. And I thought today we'd talk about how much is available out there for study these days. It seems to me, as I've begun to teach my classes on a regular basis, rather than just workshops, there is immense amount of resources, and it's very confusing. The more you kind of surf on that internet, and the more that you just as a beginner or a student, even in the intermediate stage of unfoldment, you can get overwhelmed of where do I put my finances? Where do I spend my money to get the best education to bring out and learn as much as I can? And certainly all of us tend to expend a lot of money now on books, because if you go into any store, you will find bookstore, you will find a metaphysical or spiritual section now, and it used to be you'd go in and find three shelves of Edgar Cayce, Ruth Montgomery, Arthur Ford, or if you were lucky, somebody who was doing some current work. But now the field is very, very vast, and of course TV has brought a lot to us. You know, we have exposure to Alison Dubois, psychic detectives, things like that. We're really fortunate to have Hay House, who brings a lot of seminars to a lot of local towns or big cities. Hay House certainly keeps a lot of the people, the big names that you see or hear about, that are fairly current in the vision of the public, like John Holland, John Edwards, James Van Praagh, Sylvia Brown, Doreen Virtue, the mainstream people that we hear a lot about. However, I think some things are falling through the cracks, and that is that there are still an immense amount of local talent, people at local levels that we don't hear enough about. If you go to a few psychic fairs or a few spiritual events, you might hear about some locals, but there's also some really great resources that have been around for a long time that are really confusing, because you start doing the research and one thing leads to another. So I'm hoping in the next few months to bring some information and interview some people that are heads or connected with some of these really amazing organizations. On July the 5th, I'm going to interview Kevin Tatachi, is now the CEO and head of the Association for Research Enlightenment, the Edgar Cayce Foundation, which they also have Atlantic University, which is connected with that association. So that is a whole institute that will be able to hopefully, you know, answer a lot of your questions, get a lot of what's changing in the viewpoint in the arena at ARE. Kevin Tatachi is an author in his own right, very, very well-written person, and he's been involved with the ARE for a very long time. But it is amazing, and I'm very excited, because I know he's so busy now being CEO, you don't get very many opportunities to interview him. So make sure you mark July the 5th on your calendar. The next thing that I think is interesting, too, is I have been looking on the Internet. What a great resource if you know how to do it. For me, I stumble along. I'm not very versed in that yet, but I'm sure my skills will build. But I've very much been interested in looking for what universities give degrees in parapsychology. So if anyone has really good input on that, please email us at bbsradio.com, because I would like to interview some of these universities that have some of that. I know that Arizona has one that works with Gary Swartz, but I do not believe they offer a degree in parapsychology. So if you're out there listening to me and you can be a resource, I really appreciate it because I do want to bring this to my audience. One of the things I just ran across is an organization that's been around a long time, actually. It was originally called the International Federation of Spiritualists. It's now called the International Spiritualist Federation, and their website is www.theiss.com. And the reason I want to talk about it, and I'm going to give you a little history about it in a minute, but this federation is really based in France. And it's been around, I think, for around 138 years, I think it came up with. And they are actually coming to the United States and holding a big conference in September, so September the 8th through the 15th of 2007 in Rochester, New York. And I read a lot of what they're going to offer, and I think it's the place to be to check out some very interesting things. I'm going to give you a little history, and then we'll go over about what I think they're going to bring to us here. Excuse me, from France and from a lot of places. So I'm going to give a little history first. The headquarters is in Paris, France, and the International, well, it's now the International Spirituals Federation, was founded by Jean Myers. And he really was actually founded this. He was a French industrialist, an enthusiastic follower of Alain Kodak. And I'm going to have to go back and tell you about Kodak because it's like you have to understand where it came from. That's what I said. When you start doing research, you just keep following that thread. He also founded an institute for metaphysics. It was this International Spiritualist Federation, it's now what it's called, has had some very amazing people in charge of it. I'm going to tell you about Kodak because it really gives you the whole premise of why this organization was founded. Alain Kodak was born in 1804 and passed in 1869. Alain was born in France, and he was from a very older family, distinguished, and for many generations in the legal profession, both his father and grandfather were barristers. His mother was described as a very beautiful woman and respected by many, many people. He went to school, became very educated. He enjoyed teaching, and even at the age of 14, he was teaching to fellow students. He was highly interested in botany, and in the 1800s, botany was like the new science. It was pretty, people were getting very fascinated of trying to understand nature in all its forms. And it was said that he would walk like 20 miles just in search of specific species and to examine them and study. Despite his young age, he was quite respected. He put a lot of time in on trying to bring unity to the Catholic and Presbyterian elements in his country. In 1824, Alain Kardec actually came back to France, and he purchased a large, flourishing boys' school, and he was very influential with keeping that going. 2 years later, he rented a large hall and started giving free lectures on chemistry, astronomy, and comparative anatomy. I find that very interesting. So when I read about this person, I'm really thinking he's what we call a crystal and indigo kid. He was a person who really wanted to keep peace, really wanted to have harmony at a very young age, and really thought of educating the masses, not charging, really walking his spiritual talk. And I find it very, very interesting that he wrote many, many books, mainly in the beginning on education, how to better the educational system in France, theoretical practice of arithmetic, classical grammar for the French tongue. But in 1850, the phenomena of table tipping came to France, and he was quite fascinated by it, and he wanted to know more. He thought that it was a very important step in communication between the living and the dead, and he had some friends, neighbors, that the two daughters were mediums, and he started going and to their home and experiencing seances, at first just for his own self. And as this experience went on, they noticed that when Alan was there, the spirits were of a much higher order than those who commonly came to the seances and the young mediums. And so he started trying to test this theory and ask really important life and universal questions, and worked with the two sisters for 2 years. And in 1856, he met another, and her name was Celia Bouquet, another medium, and he started conducting even more research. And as he started collecting this information and putting it into a form, the spirits encouraged him to publish this, and so he published the work, and that's the foundation of the work that Mr. Meyer started following. He, Alan, actually was not born with the name Alan Kardec. He took it as part of names from past lives, which is quite fascinating, and it kind of became his pseudonym, his name that he published spiritual books in. And he wrote a lot of spiritual books, some on physical mediumship. He researched even the Daniel Douglas Holmes. And so he actually had quite a large body of work. And Kardec adopted the term spiritualism, and it's spiritism, and that's different than spiritualist, and he really used the word spiritus, and I know that's a fine distinction and probably hard to hear on the radio, but it was very, very fascinating, and these terms really took off, and a lot of his work was really accepted in South America. Today, even in Brazil, there's a large population that's involved in this. There's actually hospitals that operate and are supported by this kind of research and phenomena. And in fact, if you have not had the chance to read the book called The Physician with a Rusty Knife, it's a fabulous, actually, expose on a man without an education who performed amazing things long before we heard about things like Edgar Cayce and Carolyn Meese, people like that. So there's a lot of forerunners of this kind of healing and spiritual work long before the names that we in our generation tend to know before. So back to this group. So this International Spiritualist Federation is really an amazing group. The more I read about it, the more fascinated I was, because I feel like they have really continued their research, and this is spread to many countries. It's not just in France. It's in Denmark, Scotland, England, Holland, Spain, the United States. So there are a lot of subgroups under this group that have still been studying phenomena today, which have been using some of the principles that Alan Kardec actually wrote on. So they're having this conference, and they don't have it in the United States very often, so that fascinated me. And the way they're running this conference, it appears to me, and certainly please check out their website at www.theiss.com, is they are actually making it a working conference, teaching working conference. So there are actually in this opportunity to take classes and be exposed to some really great mediums. They're going to have workshops on physical mediumship, direct voice, different kinds of things. So if you get the chance to go on the web and get more information, I think it's not inexpensive, but I'm thinking you're going to get a really great quality of some of the top mediums in the world are coming to this. I really believe that the more I read on it. And I also think not only are they going to be the ones on the stage, they're going to be the ones sitting in the audience next to you. They're going to be really well-read, studied people who this is connected to their way of life. And so I think it's going to be a great adventure for anyone who might be interested in it. So please check out, again, their website, www.theisf.com. So as I was looking into this, I was thinking how many places there are now to really study and get more information. And, you know, there's Finley College, which we've talked about, in England, which is out of some of our expense accounts. I mean, we can't make that happen because it's too far away from us. There certainly is the ARU, which has Atlantic University, and I hope to interview someone from there, so to give you a little more information. The National Spiritualist Association also has two different kinds of opportunities or colleges or courses that you can take. One is called the Morris Pratt Institute, and they facilitate a course that is about 2 years it takes, they say, to do it, but I have to say I think it takes longer than that. But I hope to interview one of their people so that we can give you more information on what it's about, what the credentials are. And then they also have another organization that is called Center for Spiritual Studies, which is a four-year course. It's a certificate course, but they are actually going towards getting in and actually university connected with a university in New York City, so it will be a diploma course. And I know that the Omega Institute also has some courses. So there's a vast variety of places to start going in search of to take your spiritual studies, and I know there's some places in California too. So if you know of some of these institutes, I would love to do more research and interview some of the people and bring that credibility and that information to all of you that are listening, because I think we get overwhelmed sometimes when there's so much data that we can't even begin to absorb that. So please, again, email me at bbsradio.com if you have information on parapsychology or other forms of education that would be interesting to bring to my listeners. And if you have questions, the number to phone in today is 1-877-876-5227. And if you have questions, or if you just want to have a little mini reading, or there's anything you want to know, we can go over anything. I think it's very, very interesting to go and look at all these different sites and this different information, because there's a vast, I mean, I had never heard of, honest to goodness, Allan Kardec before until I started reading this. And I found it interesting because really Arthur Conan Doyle and his wife were ahead of this, were honorary presidents of this organization. And when you start reading a lot of deep history, you find their names popping up. I mean, I don't know how those people did all that. They didn't have the internet and all, and planes and all the things we have now. But they were quite involved in so many spiritual and metaphysical sciences and organization, and very had an amazing scientific take on it. So it's interesting to me, the more you see their names, the more I really see that how important it is to know a little bit about a lot of things and then dive into the things that draw your interest the most. There is so much data out there, so much information that today we need to be much more educated. My question, though, as I've done this research, is also, you know, when you're reading things from the 1800s, there are pictures, certain names of D.D.H. Holmes. I mean, certain names are brought up over and over. You know, you're referenced to so many things. You keep coming back to specific people. And so you tend to have some really great documentation. When I'm looking now in 2007, though, I find it interesting when I look and read about these organizations, I don't see their current people sometimes. For example, in this organization, I didn't see them listing their top 10 mediums or 12 mediums so that you could get to know them. I would like to see, like even in the NSAC, I see lots of reference to books that are from the 1800s, from, you know, 20 years ago even, but I don't see a lot of current books by current people in NSAC or current people in International Federation of Spiritual, they reverse that, I'm sorry. I would like to see, they have to have people that are currently their current speakers, their current people who are the talent that we see in Jane Van Praagh, John Edwards, those types of people, Gordon Smith. I would like to see a lot more information about their books or their information that they're teaching more accessible to the public. I'm very confused why I don't see more of those type things. In fact, in several of the instances when I've gone and done research, they are always referring back to 1800s, 1920s. So my question is, I know that even if you go to Casadega, Florida, they have something like 58 working mediums, and yet I didn't see very many current books based on them, or even just a current listing, like with photo and you know, little bios, because I think all of us out there are looking for learning more or seeing more or getting to know more mediums, more teachers, more clairvoyants. And the accessibility seems somewhat limited. So I'm hoping by bringing this to the show, we'll see more of that. I know that there are a couple books like 101 Most Famous Clairvoyants, and there's a Psychic Yellow Pages, I think, are out there. But really, when you go across the United States and you really start getting a perspective, and maybe because, you know, I'm that species, I really get how many in every town I go to, how many very gifted and talented teachers there are, clairvoyants there are, psychics there are. So sometimes we get caught up in the hype of the people we see on TV, and we should look in our own backyard because some of our best resources are right there. So again, I would really like to know also a lot more about parapsychology and where we can go towards more credentials. That's the other thing I don't see. It seems like in the 1800s, the scientists were very much studying them, and there was a lot of people with, you know, scientific backgrounds, credentials, studying these, and they were forming these groups. And yet now, when you go to research these groups, they've kind of fallen by the wayside, or they're only researching electronic voice phenomena, which I think is fascinating. Don't get me wrong, I love TAPS. I love that show on sci-fi, and I have interviewed the Washington version here on the radio, on the airwaves, and I find it very, very fascinating. But I think there is so much more to the exposure out there of what we can connect to. So, in fact, I found a short little article on Dr. Schwartz's use of email in his latest study. And that I find it interesting that Gary Schwartz is a guy who studied George Anderson, Alison Dubois, John Edwards. He's the scientist from the University of Arizona. And so he just did his latest research at the Human Energy Systems Laboratory in the University of Arizona. And he will have mediums attempting to provide evidence of life after death via email. So I know that a lot of psychics and mediums can work via email or telephone. It's just another medium. You're just reaching out with different vibrations. And so these mediums will have no information about the deceased other than their name, and this information will be given to them by the researcher only, and then the sitters. The sitters will have been previously interviewed regarding the deceased and will have no contact with the medium, thus ruling out any visual or audio signs that skeptics claim that mediums use. The questions the mediums will be asked will relate to character, appearance, events, and cause of death. Sitters will then be shown a list of answers and asked to select the ones closest to what they have experienced. So he will be having a new study, and if you're interested in looking into that, you can go to www.paranormalreview.co.uk. So there's just so much out there to start looking into. The other interesting thing that I heard about is Uri Geller. I wonder how many people remember Uri Geller. Uri Geller, I actually was on his radio show. He had a radio show in England where he lived. I think he still lives, actually. He was from Israel, and he, in the 60s and 70s, he was the person who came and he bent spoons and he fixed watches. You'd see him on TV, and he'd tell you to hold a watch that didn't work, and he would use the energy, and the watch would start working. And I've seen it happen lots of times. So, he really was a phenomenon. He was really actually lived with heads of state in Mexico and other countries, and was quite the celebrity in his time. He was very young when he was first discovered. So anyway, Yuri Geller has a reality TV show now, and the premiere of Geller's new show. He is going in search of the successor, and he is approaching his 60th birthday, and he is going home to Israel to look for the next spoon vendor and the next person that has this ability and these ESP powers, and he hopes to help that person then get a start towards their own career. So it's interesting how things kind of come full circle sometimes. Because I can remember seeing him on TV, and of course, in those days, everybody had him on because he was the latest phenomenon, and how hard it was for him because they used to ridicule him and really make fun of him. It was a very difficult situation, I think, for a young person to handle. But in the long run, he wrote some very, very good books and actually traveled extensively all over the world. And so even if it was viewed sort of, unfortunately, as a sideshow when he was younger, as he matured and he took his gift to a teaching level of teaching about healing and different things, it became quite interesting and quite a different phenomena. So it's very interesting to see him come for a circle and then to bring someone else. And I think that's one thing that I don't see enough of, is that ability to do mentorship, to bring the next person into the level of their giftedness. Because, you know, it's really important that the next generation, especially with these kids that are so phenomenal, to bring them forward into it being normal. The lady I had on last week that talks about spiritual intelligence, that to me was interesting because certainly these kids sometimes are so much more intelligent and have so much more to bring to the table than we can even comprehend as adults. So there's, and the Center for Spiritualist Studies, I want to give you their website too in case you're interested. That one is in Lilydale. And you can certainly look into that through their website, which is css@nsac.org. Or you can look up Morris Pratt, which is www.morrispratt.org. So both of those institutes are someplace you can look for higher education. Or just check it out to, you know, cruise it and see what suits you, what doesn't suit you. There's just so much that we are beginning to open the door and really understand. So as you go in search of, you start using some of your giftedness to say, does this feel right for me? Does this not? You know, I really think we were just talking in our group, actually, about how do I do this in public? How do I kind of do what I call woo-woo spirituality in public sometimes? You know, it's not like I can just stop and say, oh, well, hey, Dom, what do you think? I mean, I do, because I hear him in the inside and outside of my head, but not everybody hears. Other people have to use other techniques, and one of the great techniques that I have discovered, and I realized I used it when I was a kid a lot more, is that you can actually use your body as a pendulum. You know, you can stand, and you put your hands over each other about you find where your belly button is, and you put your hand, your left hand first, just above your belly button, and your right hand on top. And then you ask, Spirit, show me yes. And you'll stand still, and you'll either move forward or backwards. Will be one of the wolves will tell you which it is. And when you know which is yes and which is no, then what you do is you'll ask the question. For example, if I'm standing in a party and I have this nudgy feeling about, I'm not so sure about this person. I think they're lying to me. Or if I do not hear Dom or Spirit because it's so noisy because I'm distracted by my humanness, I'll just get in quiet in that space, be very grounded, and do this exercise. And I'll instantly know. I mean, you know, people, the worst they can do is think you're a rocker, you know, that you're one of those people that rock back and forth. But the truth is, you will know. You will get an answer. You know, you'll go for me, it's forward. And if it's a yes, I'll go, okay, that means I shouldn't trust this person. Or maybe I don't want to hang out in this energy. And if it's the person's, yes, this person's a liar, I would go forward. If this person's not a liar, I would go backwards. And then I would ask the next question, what is there that I'm feeling about this person? So certainly starting to use those techniques or talents when you're going in search of even something for studying, because I really think a lot of people get caught up in spending a lot of money on workshops that I think are very overpriced, unfortunately. So really discern, you know, ask your guides, ask yourself, ask your angels, guides, and masters, you know, is this really the workshop for me, or am I caught up in the metaphysical, you know, shopaholic thing? Because I think when we first wake up, often that happens. You just, you know, you want it all, you want to absorb everything, and you get caught up in, you know, one of everything. I want to do, you know, psychometry, and I want to do, you know, healing, and I want everything. And what happens is then we're not doing anything well. We're getting too eclectic, and we get confused, and pretty soon our money is kind of dwindled out, and then we're frustrated. Welcome to the airwaves.
Hi. My name is...
Hello. Can I get your name and where you're from?
My name is Jane, and I'm calling from Nova Scotia.
Wow, you have the Templar's Pit in Nova Scotia, don't you?
Yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you have something that's pretty amazing right in your own backyard. How can I help you today?
I just want to know what I need to know the most right now.
So say your name again to me.
Pardon me?
My name? Yes, say your name again.
My name is Jane.
Okay, Jane, we are on radio, so I'll be as delicate as I can and as honest as I can.
Okay.
So Spirit says to me, first of all, that you've been on, you know, a kind of an emotional roller coaster for a while,
mm-hmm.
Okay? So that you're kind of playing what I call cosmic chess. I'll go over here for a little bit. Okay, it doesn't work. I'll go over here for a little bit. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So you're not focused, and they're saying that the biggest thing right now is not to be kind of all over the place, but to hang out inside yourself for a moment. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying for like 5 days, I would like not be so caught up in all the stuff outside myself,
mm-hmm.
because it's going to give you clarity, and then there's going to be a whole switch of energy for you, okay?
Okay.
Because some of this isn't really about you. Do you see what I mean?
How so?
Sometimes we get caught up in the woulda, shoulda, couldas of life and everything around us, because that way we're really busy and we don't have to fix the stuff that's about in that's with us.
Right.
Do you see what I mean? We get distracted mm-hmm. by out there,
mm-hmm.
and that's what I feel like's happened. Is you've got distracted by all the stuff out there, which has kind of given you some financial issues.
Right.
So it's I'm being delicate because we're on the radio. So the financial issues now have become more forefront. Do you see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So if you can get out of the fear of that and the drama of all the, oh, my God, there's not enough, you know, all the stuff that frightens us so much, and you can just say, okay, four or five days, I'm going to pull in, and I'm not going to go into my flight or fright. I'm not going to go into my drama.
Mm-hmm.
Then you will get clarity, and everything will start to flip, hon.
Okay, that makes sense.
The spirit wants to help you, but you're kind of flailing around. You know, it's like when you start to drown, say you're thrown overboard and you start to drown, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you panic and you flail around and you hit at everything, and everybody's trying to grab you and help you.
Right.
But in your panic, you're beating them off, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
That's kind of what you've been doing. So
okay.
If you can pull your energy in, then you're going to get clarity, and you're also going to get help, like spiritual help and also help from the outside of, you know, your situation that will make you go more forward. I feel like there's some kind of change around what you do for a living, too.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Yeah, because you're past ready. You know, you were done with that, you know, 8 months ago, if you want to know the truth.
Yeah.
So you're, you know, you're divinely ready. It's just that you're kind of, you know, you're flailing at the very things that want to help you, but because you're in the panic and because that's become your norm, you're pushing the stuff away.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like this, if I'm saying, you know, I want help, but I got to do it myself, contradictory messages, you know what I mean?
Yes, right.
Because then you're telling Spirit, I'm going to do it myself, so therefore don't help me. So then Spirit goes, oh, she wants confusion.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I get it. You know? So they let us have what we want, you know, because they can't live our life for us. They're there to help us. But so many times we get caught in that drama stuff. And so we push away the very help we need most. So if you would, like, you know, separate your consciousness a little bit from all of the drama that's going on, say, you know, thank you for reminding me I have financial issues. Thank you for reminding me I have this drama at work. But for now, that's an outside thing. What is about me? You know, and when you go to that space where you say, what is about me, Spirit? Then you say, Spirit, I trust you. I trust that you will help me, and I'll show up. And when you go to that, you have released into divine oneness and trust. And then Spirit will say, oh, she's calm enough now to accept. Because you're real good at giving, honey, but you failed receiving 101.
Yeah.
You see that? You think receiving is failure, and it's not.
You know? You're right.
Yeah. Well, here's the deal, and I'm really good at this one myself. Till I got sick and I had to learn it the hard way. I'm really good at giving 100% to everybody because that's how I came in, you know, my makeup. Mm-hmm. However, one day a friend of mine was really amazing and she taught me a great lesson. And she said, how dare you not let me give to you? How dare you deny me the awesome opportunity and experience of giving to you? So see what I mean? When we're saying, I got to do it all myself, and we're not receiving, we might be not giving someone an opportunity to have the gift of giving.
Okay.
Yeah. It's humbling. It's hard.
Mm-hmm.
Givers, it's really hard to receive. But you know what? If you say, Dear Spirit, I surrender to what I need to learn, and I surrender to this being better than it is. Because when we muck in it, you know, even artists have to step back and see the picture from a bigger place. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
And that's where you are right now. In about, let's see, we are in May. By around the 1st and 2nd of June, you're going to have a total different perspective on a lot of this, huh?
Oh, good.
Yeah, because you're like...
I feel like I've been learning too many things. I mean,
yeah,
I've had too many
you're all over
things
the board.
All at once. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I feel like. You're just all over the board instead of, you know, you lose a chess game if you get too all over the board. You got to, like, say, okay, I'm going to trust the queen. I'm going to trust me or whatever it is, you know, that's the focal point of where you are. And just, like I said, if you go inward, then the outward will flip because then you're focused on trusting yourself, trusting Spirit, and not going, you know, in 1,000 directions. Because that's really, you're defocused, and so you're just, you know, Spirit's going, oh, okay, she just wants to run around crazy like a chicken with her head cut off.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, and I hate owning that, don't you? Because it's like, you know, we think we're so much more metaphysical than that, and we are, but the truth is we're all in the drama of life, and the humanness gets in the way. And
that's
so
true.
When we can pull back into it and not leak our energy, I talk about this a lot because it's very important, that we get caught in that woulda, shoulda, coulda stuff out there, or our fear, whatever our fear is, and we're leaking our divine energy on that, you know, and we get in that until all of a sudden we're quote low and we're depressed, you know, and we feel defeated and we feel drained because we're choosing to leak it on the wrong thing. If we worked what we want half as much as we work what we don't want, we'd be doing good.
Mm-hmm.
So don't get caught in the drama about the money, hun.
How do you protect yourself from other people's, if you're a sensitive person, how do you protect yourself from other people's problems and emotions? And?
Well, I think 90% of that is, first of all, being aware of it, and then using white light. I'm not prescribing, but personally for me, I like to take sea salt and baking soda baths because it takes the negativity out of my auric field. But the other thing I think that's big about this is what other people think of you and what their dramas really are none of your business. And that is a hard concept to do because your job really is to observe it and pray about it, not necessarily fix it. Because happens if you get caught in their drama, you start carrying a cosmic first aid box, right? And you're busy fixing them and you're not giving them the opportunity, first of all, to take care of their own wounds. So say if I'm in a workplace, okay, that there's a lot of drama, and so that's one thing that closes in on me because I don't like all that drama. It's hard on my energy because I am sensitive because I, you know, my innate nature is let me help you. But I've learned that my innate nature to help is to pray, to ask for higher guidance for them. Perhaps once in a while to give a little advice, but really, truly, is to send love because love dissolves anything unlike itself. So one of the things you can do is, say you have a desk, you go in, you put white light around your desk. You set intention that that becomes your sacred space. And people think it's crazy, but it works. It absolutely, I guarantee you, works. Mm-hmm. The other thing I'm big on is I love quartz crystal. It holds space. So, you know, I used to work in an office with a bunch of people that were very negative, a bunch of engineers. So what I did is I actually created my sacred space, and in order to hold it easier, I glued those little white crystal stones under my desk.
Oh.
Nobody knew they were there, but it worked like a charm.
Yeah.
It really becomes like a force field, like, you know, in Star Trek.
Right.
You really
okay.
create your own auric energy field. But you have to trust that you can do it. And right now for you, I'm not so sure you trust in that. I want you to, though.
Okay.
And so the other thing you can do is really fun to do this because it drives everybody. I mean, you can see the change. You'll like sit back and you kind of laugh because the office is going like, what happened here? If you throw golden drops, if you throw golden Christ, you know, energy drops, which is really pure love, if you just go in and you just like, you know, fling your hands around a little bit, you know, and when you go in and you just throw that energy, that really changes the atmosphere in a place.
Mm-hmm.
Because anywhere we, you know,
so
the law of attraction.
You just visualize it? You just visualize that you're
Yeah, I visualize it. I actually visualize it like, you know, spreading fairy dust, like when you see the golden confetti come down,
mm-hmm.
you know. And that's what I do. I go to any place that's negative, especially hospitals where there's lots of fear, and I just really throw golden drops. I grow energy, and what it is a form of Christ energy or divine love, and because that helps change the atmosphere. Love really, truly dissolves anything like itself. It's our greatest weapon in the world, but we forget in our humanness to use it. There's no limit to it. I mean, we have as much as we need of divine love and energy, and we so seldom wield it like we should.
Mm-hmm.
So go in for a few days, and every time you run up against a negative situation, throw that energy, and you'll be amazed at what happens.
Okay, that sounds good.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
So there's
very
lots
much.
Of tools. It's almost so simplistic we like want to judge it, you know what I mean?
Mhm.
Yeah. And then I think also in your home, there's a wonderful book. I love this book. It's by Denise Linn, LINN, called Sacred Space. And she has a lot of very good tools in that book that you can use for your home, your car, everything to change the energy, to keep energy in a certain form, having, you know, a crystal paperweight on your desk, that changes and holds energy, and those crystals always love to talk to your computer, which is funny, or angels, even a little angel figurine,
mm-hmm.
depending on where you work, you know, what you can get away with.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Yeah. But, you know, shoot for June 2nd, honey, a lot of things change for you, so
okay.
Get out your desk calendar. Do you have a calendar on your desk?
Do I have a what?
A calendar on your desk?
Yes, I do.
Good. Go get some foo-foo sparkle things, like, I don't, you know, those little sticker things
mm-hmm.
that have stars and smiley face and things like that. If you put energy like that in your desk where when you look up you see that are little things that tweak your mind to think, oh, I forgot, did I throw my golden drops? Whatever will jog your memory to do it, to help bring you back. It's like cheat sheet in a peachy when you had to learn your times table,
mm-hmm.
Or things that remind you to come back in harmony with God, Goddess, all that is, oneness. Because only when we're in separation do we go into that confusion.
Right, okay.
Yeah. And it's hard at first because the patterns are really good. You know, our BS gets us every time,
uh-huh.
our belief system, you know,
yeah,
and we'll fall
right.
back into the pattern, especially
mm-hmm.
if it's a very negative place.
That's the
place.
Problem, yeah. I keep falling back into the pattern and keep forgetting that to do the other
stuff?
Well,
one of the things that'll help you too is I used to work at, like I said, in this engineers, and they were like, and you know, people always say women gossip. I got news for you. Oh my God, guys can be really scary, and not only are they scary, they use really bad language.
Yeah.
And I can remember that my guide went back to a saying my mother used to say is, if you gossip, you're the next victim.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so my mantra got to be is I won't participate in this. I won't gossip. Every time I'd hear him gossip, I'd say no, because I'll be the next. Somebody will be the next victim, and it's not going to be me. And within 3 weeks, the gossip mill in that place totally flipped.
Wow.
And I said, listen, guys, I don't gossip unless it's good. Uh-huh. So I made a point to go in every day and find something good about one person.
Mm-hmm.
And at first, I get these scowls. I get these really dirty looks, like what? You know. And by the end of the first week, people are going, uh-oh, here she comes again with goody two-shoes. And I go, you bet. They're red goody two-shoes. By the third week, it was just totally different. Everybody was trying to find something good about the other person. So really, the stuff is contagious.
Okay. Very
yeah,
good.
Yeah, so I hope that helps you.
It does. It helps me a lot. It does.
Yeah, because when we're in it, you know, we we're drowning.
Yeah.
We just go down with the ship sometimes
because
it's easier. It's like, you know, you go home and like, why did I participate? Why did I do that?
Yeah.
And it takes time. Don't beat yourself up, you know. That's the thing I always tell all my clients and my students. Do not beat yourself up if you fall back in the pattern. Just say, thank you, Spirit, for reminding me that's my old pattern. I'll do better tomorrow, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, the future is a mystery. The past is history. We live in the present because it's a gift. And if we can keep living in the present, then we create new synchronicities and synchrodestiny eventually. So if you want your workplace to be a happy, wonderful place, it starts with you.
Right.
We start outside of ourselves.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, buy some bubbles and have them on your desk. You can't stay mad when you blow bubbles. I love that.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, blessings, hon.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah, have a great evening.
You too. Bye.
Take care. You know, it is all those simple tools that we forget to use. It is really hard sometimes to stay focused, especially when we're in something where it's a very competitive job, you know, where, you know, you have to be the best salesperson or there's quotas to make or sports where you're in, you know, constant competition. You know, the ego is so caught up in this society. Even in schools, I was actually talking to some children, and I was shocked at the competition in grade school. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hi. What's your name, and where are you calling from?
Michael from Mesa, Arizona.
Hi, Michael from Mesa, Arizona. So what can I do for you tonight?
Just like a little mini reading, if you would, please.
Okay. The first thing, Michael, that I hear from Spirit for you is that you're making some kind of major decisions. Do you understand this? Like there's some major decision. I almost want to say there's some opportunity to change what you're doing, hon, for a living. Or a move, because they're showing me actually picking you up and moving you. So you're moving in some way.
I don't know right now. It's
okay. There's some kind of move, because you're kind of done with whatever you're been doing or bored about it.
A lot of
you
it's
understand?
Confusion. Yeah.
I'm sorry?
That's a lot of it's confusion. I've had a few enlightening experiences and basically just stuck and just wondering, you know, what the world is
now,
going
on. Well, you're moving out of it because they actually showed me a picture of you physically being picked up and moved. So if you're feeling blocked, there's an absolute move in a direction that's different now than it has been. They also show me I have a lot of Native American things around you, and I don't think it's because it's where you are. Have you done a lot of shamanic studies in some way?
No, but I do have some Indian blood in me.
Yeah, that's because they're showing me you're backed up by this tribe, so you might want to call on them. I don't think you talk to them very much. I'd be talking to these guys because they're important. There's like, there must be 8 or 9 of them behind you. And they're really encouraging you, moving you forward. but there's a huge move for you mid-June. You're kind of going to feel stuck till like the second week in June, and then the doors open. It's almost like this holding pattern is to make you regroup and be a little kinder to yourself.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay.
I'm still processing. So that makes a lot of sense. I'm still processing.
Yeah.
A lot of information.
It's like you need to absorb and hang out with the experience and stuff, and then, boom, another door is going to open. You're going to step right through it. And you know, I really think that when I'm in your energy field, as soon as you kind of assimilate this stuff, you're going to go step into really having a more expanded consciousness. It's almost like they used a cosmic 2x4 on you and gave you a wake-up call, and now you're having to figure out, you know, and absorb.
To say the least, for sure.
Yeah. I don't know why I'm going to say this, but I have an illumination around you. So when I see an illumination, I would almost say you had some kind of visitation as well.
Oh,
do you understand what I'm saying? Huh?
Oh, yes.
Okay, good. Because it's like, to me, it's like, this is a pretty big deal, hon. So basically, you're just recovering from the shock of it, and oh my God, now what do I do with it? And I don't think you have to do anything with it. I don't think you have to do a thing. I think they're going to do it for you. And maybe that's why you're a little afraid.
A whole lot afraid, to tell you the truth. I mean,
I'm not afraid, honey. I'm not afraid. I think this is innately. There's a big part of who, you know, you came here to have this big aha. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it's only, you're afraid because it overwhelmed you. It was a little bigger than you thought. Certainly, visitations can certainly get you in that whoa, wait a minute here, let's talk this over feeling. But really,
exactly.
When the dust settles, this is a very good thing for you, hon.
Oh yeah, I don't doubt that.
It moves you along.
Yeah, I don't doubt that a bit. It's just like you said, it was overwhelming and trying to process that and figuring out what I'm supposed to do with this information in the first place. And then,
write it down, first of all. Journal like crazy, honey.
Yeah.
The first thing I would do is write down how the illumination and the cosmic 2x4 happened, what you heard, every bit of data you have assimilated, because when you're trying to hang on to it all and absorb the experience, you know, it's like being struck by lightning, you know? You get a huge download, but then can you hang on to it? So journal right away, honey. That's the most important thing. And then spirit will help even everything out. They'll come back and fill in the blanks. And they'll come back and give you lots and lots, because you got, like I said, 8 Native Americans. There's like 14 or 15 angels. There's 2 kind of, I don't even know who they are, master-like type people. So you got a lot of backup here. So I don't feel afraid. I don't see... You know, I don't see dark shadows. I don't see scary stuff, okay?
Yeah, no, I'm
not
afraid of that.
Negative.
I'm more afraid of the power, I guess, because it's just totally, completely different from what I perceive myself as. And
so what you're afraid of is being good enough.
Worthy, yeah, that's part of it.
Yeah, cough up that fur ball, babe. You can't purr unless you do. No, I'm serious. I'm serious.
No, the
truth is, hon, we're all gods and goddesses. We're all divinely part of God. And so by saying you're not good enough, you're saying, you know, God's good enough. Nothing possible. God got us all that is and through for every day. And the truth is, I really believe people are given what I call illuminations, cosmic wake-up calls, when you're ready. And the truth is, you're ready or you wouldn't have it. Otherwise, you'd still be sleepwalking.
No, that's true.
Yeah, there's a wonderful statement that Marianne Williams makes in one of her books, and forgive me because I don't remember what book. And the funny thing is, I actually quoted it back to her, not knowing it was hers, because on the thing that I had, it was in Nelson Mandela's speech, and it was...
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know,
I can't
even say it now that I want to say it, darn it. Where, you know, you think you're not good enough and your light's not good enough, and yet, you know, that's the very thing the world's waiting for.
Right.
So what if, you know, God sent you? What if God couldn't come today and he asked you to come? Would you make a difference? And the answer is yes. We make a difference every day. Some days we make bigger differences than others. wheelchair, you know, who had, like, everything that could ever go wrong for you in your life, had lost, I don't know, two of his brothers, his mother's desperately ill, and this kid is this incredible little guru coming here to give us all wake-up calls. So if he got he was good enough and did his job, who are you to say, nah, send somebody else?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, see, if you look in that context, you go, maybe I can step up to the plate here. So take your time, journal, take deep breaths. You'll get over it. You know, you'll get over the shock of it and the fear of it. And then you ask Spirit, will I misuse this energy in this lifetime? Is, you know, what part is my lesson in that? Because I do think you can misuse. You can get an ego with anything. But if we keep in contact with Spirit and say, okay, this is about the work and not about me, then we'll stay on track.
And I think you hit the nail on the head right there.
Remember that, guys. If you hear me getting out of line, getting an ego, call me up and say, is it about the work, Atira, or is it about your ego? Because, you know, everybody has days where they slip. So if you can really journal it and say, okay, Spirit, let it be about the work. You know, we're just people sent by, you know, we work for God. God is all it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about us. It's about the work. And if we can keep that focus, then we'll change ourselves and the world. So remember to let your light shine.
Will do.
Because your message is important, huh?
Okay.
Did that help?
Very much so. Thank you.
Good. Yay. Lots and lots of blessings. Can't wait to see the book. So persevere.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. So I've loved our time together again. It's always so wonderful to hear my radio audience call in. They always educate me and teach me something about myself and Spirit, and I hope that I've helped those. And remember to let your heart light shine, to light your way and the way for others, and to stay wrapped in the wings of angels until next week. Blessings.
Mary Ellen Angel Scribe, author of Expect Miracles and the Angels and Miracles Good Newsletter, can be found at angelscribe.com.